Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
My name is Nick Nanton. My title, I'm a director and producer. I'm an attorney. I went to law school, but I don't practice much, really at all. I'm a songwriter. I write a lot of country and pop music as well. And I really sort of got into this line of work by being curious, just by being interested in what could I do when I met people, how could I serve them? How could I help them with their causes? And I just found that storytelling in general, and there's just so many avenues to what storytelling is these days, particularly with, Instagram stories and Facebook stories. I mean, it goes, storytelling's been around for thousands of years and it's still here in many different forms. And so the more I've delved deeper and deeper into storytelling, the more interested I've been. I would call myself a storyteller, although you'll learn in life that giving yourself titles and labels is the hardest thing you can do.
Well, I should say, especially with a Renaissance man like yourself, I know that you had, some connections with Larry King, which, I'm sorry for your loss, because I know that you were close with him. But can you talk to me a little bit about his legacy and how he influenced kind of your career?
Yeah, so I can give lots of lessons here that may or may not go over anyone's head, but those who are interested in will get them. I wanted to meet Larry King, so I bought a charity auction to have breakfast with Larry King. And so one of the things that I had the idea that possibly I could do some work with Larry King. But one of the things I found, especially the higher you climb up the celebrity ladder, I was actually dealing with something today. One of my clients wants to reach out to a celebrity, so they submitted a form on their website. Well, so that's a good start. But if I'm Dude Perfect or Mr. Beast, right? How many people do you think get DM them a day? Like a lot. Like anybody, you got millions of people all across the world. And so these people, they wanted to connect with a celebrity. And I wanted to connect with Larry King. But again, how many people would want Larry King's time or LeBron's time? I mean, substitute whoever you want. But I want some of his time. I always provide value before I ask for anything in return. So I never approach someone as if they owe me anything. And by the way, that I think it's a great practice to make that a homeless person on the street or the president of the United States. It doesn't matter. I think you should always approach with service first. You approach with service. So I said, you know what? I'm going to serve Larry King by donating to this charity auction, and I'm going to get breakfast with Larry King. So I sat down with Larry King. And if any of you don't know, Larry King did hundreds of thousands of interviews, interviewed pretty much every living president since I think it was President Ford. I might even go further back than that. But every athlete you can think of, he interviewed Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, he interviewed everybody. So I sat down with him at breakfast and he said, Nick, all my friends are going to come to breakfast, whether you want them to or not. I know there's a private breakfast, but we've been eating breakfast at the same place every Saturday morning for 50 years. So you're welcome to stay as long as you want, but I want to honor you donated money. You clearly want something from me. So what do you want? So, and by the way, that was cool of him to acknowledge, like, you put money, you donated money, you must want something in return. I said, Larry, there's three things I'm interested in. Number one, I just want to hear some stories. I bet you got the best stories. I said, number two, I interview a lot of people and you've interviewed more people than anyone I've ever heard of on earth. I bet you could teach me some things. And number three, if there was an opportunity, I would love an opportunity to work together at some point, but you have no idea who I am. You've never seen anything I've done. So I'm going to table that and I'm going to try to take some time at your convenience after this. Over time, I'll send you some stuff by mail, by whatever. And I'm going to try to prove to you that maybe I might be worth working with, but we'll work on that later. He goes, great, where do you want to start? So we had a good conversation. And so most importantly, by the way, one of the ways you can always endear yourself to someone is ask them for advice. Like, there's a good tip for you, ask for advice. So I asked him, and so he taught me a lot about interviewing the legacy for me of him that will live on it is he has influenced so many people's lives who are in that industry, but he's a really nice man. In the end, he became my business partner on my TV series on Amazon. And he was a really nice person willing to help, even though he had no reason to help me. And number two, he taught me, he said, Nick, you wouldn't want to sit next to me on an airplane. He said, what makes me a great interviewer is I am relentlessly curious. And so I would say, by the way, the top people in the world in every field I've ever interviewed, the most common thing that they all have is curiosity. And so I think, you know, if I combine all that and hopefully make sense out of those stories, what I got from Larry King is if you lead with service and your brain is always at a place of curiosity, there's no door you can't open.
That is some sound advice, especially a lot of these students. I know at Mr. Mauricio's class down in SLAM, they're learning about storytelling. But part of being a journalist, believe it or not, I have my BA in broadcast journalism. And one of the things that I learned in my undergrad was the ability to ask, the ability to reach out, the ability, that curiosity that you speak of. Can you talk to the kids? Because we have some questions from some of the kids in France are asking, what advice can you have to them as far as pre-production and planning? And I know that a lot of your stories, they kind of have a central theme. Like you've done a lot of stuff, in documentaries about human trafficking, Rudy's documentary, a lot of award-winning stuff. How do you go from a concept or an idea to an actual object, an actual production?
Perfect. So I have a rule that if I can't bring heart and hope to a conversation or story, I'm not going to do it. So there's plenty of stories that you could just show how terrible some element is or some part of the world. Like I'm out. If we can't say, hey, this is really bad, but we can do better, here's some solutions, I'm out. But I will tell you, I've really learned the less I do, the more successful I am. And by that, I mean, the less I do of things that I shouldn't be doing. I have so many things that I am not gifted at. And when I recognize that and I bring in other people who are gifted, teamwork, you know, they say teamwork makes a dream work, right? Like on every football team, soccer team, softball team, lacrosse team, there's a reason you have people at different positions because you can't play every position. And it's the same thing. So I will tell you, I hate to prepare for anything. So if Mr. Krause had asked me to show up, if he asked me to read a book before I came and be prepared to discuss this book, I wouldn't have done it. By the way, in school, you have to. So just deal with that. You got to learn. That's like Navy SEAL training. Do the hard stuff. It makes you better. But I hate it. So I actually have a team. Whenever I do a podcast, whenever I do a documentary, I have a team that reads all the books, watches all the shows, and I tell them, hey, you know what's going to help me the best? Give me an outline, like a 1,000-word article, as if the person I'm going to be interviewing was on the cover of Fortune magazine or People or whatever. And I read that the night before, and I read that the morning before the interview, and that is my context for the interview. And I am now prepared because I outsourced the preparation. I outsourced the preparation of the reading, the writing, all those things to people who love it. Like, when you get into a career, when you start working on things, if there's something you're doing and you don't love it, promptly find someone else to do it for you and go back to finding what it is that you love. I'm sure many of you have done things in your lives where, let's say you're redecorating your room. That'll be an easy one. Like, let's say you changed the bedspread. You're like, man, that looks awesome. But now my posters on the wall aren't quite right. They don't match what I'm thinking right now. So I got to change those posters. And once you change the bedspread and the poster, you're like, man, this paint color, it was so 10 years ago. And the example is, it's what causes you the most friction. At first it was your bedspread, then it was the posters. Then once those were right, the thing that caused you the most friction was the paint on the wall, but you never even realized that was causing you friction because it wasn't causing you the most friction. So the way to get things where you need to be in your lane in life is to start removing the things that cause you the most friction. That allows you to get deeper and deeper into what one of my mentors, Dan Sullivan, calls your unique ability. If you can learn to operate within your unique ability, you will win. My unique ability, just to share how strange they can sound, my unique ability, and you'll notice I'm doing it right now, this is all I do all day, every day. I'm willing to have impactful conversations that lead to produced outcomes. So this to me is an impactful conversation with you, Mr. Krause, and hopefully it's an impactful conversation. And the produced outcome is hopefully even one student gets one thing out of it. And if it lives on beyond that, great.
And the whole purpose of these talks, and as you know, we've been doing these for years, is to inspire and educate students. And if we can just do that for at least one of them, it's absolutely worth it. So I know we're kind of winding down on our time here, but what kind of advice, one of the other students wants to know, they want to study film and possibly even working in television production with maybe even working in docuseries. What kind of advice would you have to them as they kind of figure out what school to go to and what exactly to study?
You won't know that until you start doing it. So there's zero reason that right now you can't start producing docuseries, TV shows, and everything. Use your iPhone. They're great. We got our cameras confiscated from us in the Dominican Republic for 48 hours, and we were only there for 72 hours. We shot 85% of our documentary on, this was like the iPhone 8 back then. And then once we got our cameras back, they're full 1080p HD cameras. And you cannot tell the difference because the guys who I was with knew what they were doing. There are, by the way, there's some software, some apps you can get that allow you to retune your camera on your iPhone, but start doing it. What you'll realize is what you like doing, what you don't like doing. So me, I'm a director. I have shot camera before. I have edited video before. I have done, but it's not what I'm great at. But until I did a lot of it, I realized like, oh, wait a second, I'm struggling to make this look amazing. This camera guy, he was born to do it. He started doing it at 12. You'll start seeing what your gifts are. You'll start seeing, what do I want to specialize in? What do I need? What am I fascinated and curious by that I want to learn more about? Is it about camera angles and lighting? Is it about how to edit a story that pulls people from one scene to the next? Or is it putting an overall story together? But until you start doing it, you'll have no idea. And there's no, higher education is amazing, but it's really only amazing when you know why you're going and you're interested in being there. So higher education, like most of us, I got a degree in finance because I was supposed to go to college. I got a law degree because I was supposed to get, you know, a higher education degree in my family is what they wanted from me. Now, I'm really glad I did all that, but and it's positioned me for success in life. But had I taken the time to figure out when I was really interested in music and media to think through, man, how could I use this as an opportunity? I'm already paying for it, already spending most of my time here. Why don't I do something that's going to further me in the fascination that I'm at? But if you don't get enough experience now, you're going to walk in like everyone else does, a four-year degree where you're like, "What? Essentially, why am I here? I'm doing it to please my parents. I'm here to get a piece of paper." But there's so many resources at every university, at every school, at every trade school, that if you knew what you wanted out of it, you could find mentors. You could find, even at your high school. I mean, if you're fascinated in media and interviews, Mr. Krause is a great resource. There's always people at these institutions that are willing to help you. But if you don't know what you need help with or what you're interested in, you sort of just walk through it like a zombie just trying to get through.
So we have a question from Lucas, who is in Mr. Marichko's class. He wants to know, what is the your favorite project that you ever worked on of all time? I mean, what are you at, 11 or 14 Emmys? How many? I'm starting to lose count.
22, but hey, okay. That's just a number. Close, so. Man, they're all different. I mean, my very first one was about a little boy Down syndrome and plays T-ball. I've had a blast, on Rudy's documentary, who Mr. Krause, that's how we met. I am working on a human trafficking in America documentary right now and how it happens, how kids get digitally trafficked through in America. And certainly during the pandemic, it spiked and I knew that was going to happen. So we covered some of that. Done a lot on PTSD and wounded warriors. One of my favorites, of course, is did one called A New Leash on Life about rescue dogs. They turn into service dogs. They give those to wounded warriors with PTSD and it stops suicide. And my dog Emmett here was a flunky of that program. So that's how he ended up in my house. So there's been a lot of fun ones. I mean, I've interviewed, Will I Am, Tony Robbins, Richard Branson. I mean, a ton of people, and Mark Cuban. And it's been awesome, man.
Well, please do keep us in mind if any of these people want to interview with kids. Yeah. So before we let you go, one last thing. What kind of advice would you give to all these students? One last student question. He wants to know, are you a fan of Notre Dame?
I am because of Rudy. I'm really a Florida Gator, but Rudy, I'll root for Notre Dame because of Rudy.
I'm good the question. Same way with Rudy. I can't, I'm like, I was never a fan, but okay. So before we let you go, can you give these kids any advice as they go off into the world to kind of figure out what they want to do, even if it doesn't have to do with production, even if it's just something else, as someone is so accomplished as you, what kind of advice could you give to them?
If you don't know what to do at any point in your life, just stop and serve someone else. When you stop and serve someone else, you take the attention off of yourself. You can get out of the funks you're in. You can get out of the, even, you know, I'm not talking clinical depression, but just sort of basic depression of I'm not sure what to do next, or anxiety. When you start to, when you turn the lens and focus on someone else and their needs, everything else shows up. You learn what you're really good at. You learn what people value you for. You learn where there's a need, and wherever there's a need, there's opportunity. And so I just say the most important thing you could do is, in this very self-centered, selfie-based world, turn the lens off of yourself, focus on other people, and opportunity will always show up.
So one last thing before we let, because a student really wanted to know this. So Deborah, okay. I'll let you ask, because it's just been me asking questions. Deborah, you should be able to unmute and ask your question. You had a pretty interesting question. There you go.
Yeah, I have a question for Nick Manton. My question was that, does his work ever stress him a lot? Because like when I'm in school sometimes, and when I have like a lot of tons of homework, it stresses me a lot. And like, it doesn't let me think a lot sometimes.
All the time. I had that day yesterday, about 5:30 yesterday afternoon. I wasn't done with half the things I was supposed to do. I had, my kids had questions. I was about to have to go to an appointment, and I was just done. I was done with Zooms forever yesterday. I was just done. I was like, I quit Zoom forever. But clearly I didn't, I'm here. But so that happens all the time. We all get overwhelmed. When you get overwhelmed, it's your body trying to tell you something. And so I find the best thing to do, not always the easiest thing, is just take a step back, take a few deep breaths. If you're into meditation or prayer, like just take a minute to like not let the outside world control you and who you are. And then realize that, you know, there's a reason, there's the proverb, it sounds sort of corny, but the longest journey starts with the first step. Well, you can't do all your homework at the same time. You just can't. If I want to give you another piece of advice from a friend of mine named Brian Tracy, a famous speaker for 50 years, he has a book called Eat That Frog. And the whole point of it is if you have things in front of you that you're going to eat, and one of them you have to eat is a frog, well, the frog's the worst thing you got to eat the frog first. So whatever you're dreading the most, get it out of the way, and you'll find that everything else becomes a little bit easier, but you got to take a little bit of a step. You know, when I run about 5 miles a day, I know you run a lot too, Mr. Crafts. You know, it starts with like, I'm committed to going, I'm putting my headphones on, I'm putting my shoes on, and I got to take that first step. I'm not worried about mile five. Let me get through the first 100 meters. Let me get through the first half mile. Oh, great. I hit a mile. Now I'm starting to feel warmed up. So it's all about taking that first step and just start to knock out that hardest thing. And oftentimes the hardest thing is centering yourself and getting started.